this is the meaning in English, which is that we have offered the trust. Allah offered the trust to creations. And they refused. They say, we don't want the trust. It is too dangerous. What is that trust? Let's understand first, what is that trust? Allah trusted them with what? Did He trust them? Did He trust them to, for example, to guard heavens and earth? What exactly did He trust them with? Did He trust them with keeping His money?
No.
Did He trust, what exactly did He trust them with? The trust is here, He trusted them with the free will. So what was the trust? Free will. The trust was? Will. So He trusted them to make free choices. He trusted them to make what?
Free choices.
Free choices. Okay. So He has offered, Allah has offered this trust. You can do a free choice. He has offered this trust to...
Brother Ali.
Yes. He has offered this trust to heavens, skies, earth, and mountains. They were all too scared to accept this trust. Why are they scared? Scared of what? What is scary about this trust or the responsibility of making free will or making free choices? Huh?
They might get punished if they do bad
things. Takbir. Allah. Excellent answer. The danger is you might end up in hellfire, right?
Uh-huh.
Do earth end up in hellfire? No. Do mountains end up in hellfire?
No.
No. Do skies end up in hellfire? No. Do angels end up in hellfire? No. Why? Because they are not having the responsibility of making free choices. All right? So there's no danger on them. There's no what?
Danger.
And this is why they refused it. They say, we don't want that responsibility. It's too dangerous. We might hurt ourselves. We might do an injustice to ourselves. We might do something wrong, make wrong choices, disobey Allah under the influence of temptations, under the influence of money, under the influence of jealousy, under the influence of lower desires. We might make a mistake. We don't want this responsibility. But humans said, yep, yes, we want the responsibility. It's good. We want this responsibility. We want to take that responsibility. That's what humans say. Now, why did humans do this to themselves? Because they are ignorant. Ignorance means they don't know what they brought to themselves. They have no idea what kind of danger they put themselves into. And that is ignorance. And doing justice to themselves by disobeying Allah, by making the wrong choices, they are doing what? Injustice. So the injustice that you do to yourself is doing the wrong choice. Who is more enemy to you than you? Who can hurt you more than you? Umar ibn al-Khattab used to call the bad guys you enemy of yourself. Why is he calling them you enemy of yourself? Because they're hurting themselves. By making what? Wrong choices. Now here, Allah says that they were too scared, except humans, okay? They were not scared and they said, yes, we want this responsibility. Now, can you prove to me that humans did accept that responsibility? Did you remember Allah asking you this question and you're saying, yeah, I want it?
No.
No. Then how can you prove to me that I said yes and you said yes and everybody said yes, we want that? Can you prove to me that? I can prove it to you. First of all, dead people, the people who are dead, do they have the responsibility of making free choices? No. right? So, if you don't want to have the responsibility of having free choice, then you should prefer to die. Who prefers to die? We all love to live, right? We know that the living people, the people who are alive, have this responsibility. And we want to be alive, so we want that responsibility. Right? That is the first argument that I will use to prove to you that we love, we chose, we want that responsibility. Even another argument which is way stronger than this argument. Freedom or power. Do we love to have more power or less power?
More power.
More power. Who doesn't want more power? If you are an engineer, then you want to be a supervisor. If you are a supervisor, you want to be a manager level 1. If you're a manager level 1, you want to be a manager level 2. If you're a manager level 2, then you want to be vice president. If you're vice president, then you want to be president of the company. If you're president of the company, then you want to be a senator or a congressman or woman. Then if you are a congressman or woman, then you need to be, you want to be a president of the United States or vice president. You love to have more power, right? And the saying, with power comes
responsibility.
The higher power you have, the more responsibilities you have. Why? Because if I make a decision, if I make a wrong decision, I would be hurting, you know, a small number of people. Why? Because I'm an average class citizen. If I make stupid decision, I'm probably hurting myself and my family, which is about 5 people, 6 people. If you make the decision, okay, while you are serving in the masjid, then you are hurting who? The more, your family and other families, which are the community, right? Then you become the governor. If you make the wrong choice or the wrong decision, then you're hurting what? The entire state. All right? You're not only hurting yourself. Then if you are the president of the United States, you make the wrong decision, then you're hurting the entire nation. Okay, so do we love to have more power?
Yes.
Do we wish and work hard to have more power?
Yes.
And we know that when we have more power, we are going to have more responsibilities. And we love it. We want that responsibility. Right? So we want more responsibility. So we want to be tested. Not only that we want to be tested in a low level. No, we want a harder test that has more power with it. Right? Who doesn't love power? Everybody loves power. Therefore, everybody loves to be tested. We love to go up in power, then we indeed love to be tested. Does that make any sense to you? Do you have any counter argument? Huh? Do you have an argument that against what I'm explaining here that will prove that what I'm saying is not accurate? All right, let's move to the third argument. With freedom, you have the responsibility, right? More freedom means more what? Responsibility. Less freedom means less responsibility. So, if you're a slave, then your responsibility of making choices are very small and limited. Why? Because you don't have much freedom. You basically have to obey your master. Go. Yes, sir. Come. Yes, sir. Do. Yes, sir. Wake up. Yes, sir. Sleep. Yes, sir. Right? Do you have much choice here? You don't have much of a choice. You're basically you are being controlled by a remote control, held by your master. Who likes this? Nobody likes that, right? Everybody loves freedom. Everybody loves what? Freedom, right? Then with freedom comes the test. With freedom comes the test. The trust that Allah trusted you to make the right choice. So the trust, Allah's trusting you to make the what?
Right choices.
Okay? It's a test whether you're going to make a right choice or a wrong choice. So with more freedom, you get more responsibility because the area or the number of decisions you have to make will go up. If you're a slave, probably you have very small decisions, small number of decisions to make. If you're very, very, very free, have a lot of freedom, then you have a whole lot more decisions to make. Nobody's controlling you. What happens to the earth, the skies, and the mountains? They refused to take that responsibility. So, how are they being controlled so that they don't have choice? They are controlled by what? Huh? They are being controlled by something called the laws of nature. By something called what?
The laws of nature.
So any body or any creation that refuses to be controlled, to have the responsibility of making choices, they do, Allah will not end their existence. Allah will keep them, will keep their existence. But Allah will make them be controlled by the what? By the laws of nature. Do the sun have the choice to come late?
No.
Do the sun say, can the sun say, today I feel bad. I am not going to move around the earth. Can the sun do that?
No.
I'm not going to let the earth go around me. Or I'm not going to serve the earth. Or any, the sun says, can the sun come in the morning? Can the sun come in the morning and says, I'm hot today. I want to cool down. I'm not going to burn a lot of gases to heat up the solar system or the galaxy or whatever. Can the sun do that? Right? Can the sun take a day off? No. Why? Because the sun is controlled by the laws of nature. The sun refused. The sun said, no. I will never accept the responsibility of making the responsibility of making choices freely. I want to be controlled by the laws of nature. So I am safe. I am what? Safe. Would Allah ever send the sun to hellfire? No. Why? Because sun rejected that responsibility. No, trust me, hellfire will burn the sun. Trust me on that. The heat of the hellfire is strong enough to burn the sun and to burn the stones. Now, the proof of that is that sun does not burn the stones, but the hellfire So sun does burn the stone?
Hold on. Please listen.
Huh?
There's the pressure of the outer layers on the core, which heats up and heats the rock around it, which eventually melts, reaches the crust, and then erupts as lava. So even the earth can melt stone, and I bet the sun can too.
Yes, melting, but burning.
Sorry. Yeah,
burning like what?
If you throw a stone at the sun, yeah, and it'll burn.
Rock. Can you burn a rock? A piece of rock?
Yeah, with the sun.
No.
Yeah, you can. Yeah.
You can make it melt, sure. But can you actually physically burn it like you burn wood?
Yeah, you can.
Yeah, you can if you
okay.
throw it on
the... It's like a meteor.
Okay. The hellfire does burn stones.
Yeah.
It doesn't?
It's the sun instead of the spirit.
Okay. I'm not going to worry about that point, honestly, but the hellfire, the sun, the skies, the earth are not going to hellfire because they didn't accept that responsibility. Huh?
What about animals?
Animals are held accountable to very, very basic rules of justice. Very basic. And that's why in the day of judgment, Allah brings them to serve justice between them. The animal, the bad animal, the victim animal is going to take revenge from the animal that hurts him. Okay? So for example, if there are two cats and one cat hurt the other cat, so that victim cat will come in the day of judgment and hurt the big cat back. All right? So they are held responsible to a certain level of justice. Then after that, they don't go to hell or Jannah. Allah says, be dust. Allah will turn all of them into dust. And at that point, the bad guys will say, we wish we turn into dust like they are. But Allah turns them into dust because they didn't have much for trust. They just being held accountable to very, very, very basic rule of justice, which is don't harm your fellow animal. Don't harm your fellow animal. And that's why the wolf will not eat a brother wolf. Okay? So the wolves, I've never seen a wolf eating a wolf. Did you?
Fish eat snails, and snakes eat snakes.
Okay, the ones in the food chain, there is no injustice because Allah made it such a way. So you don't get punished for eating something in the food chain which is under you, but you do get.
But it's the same.
Yeah, they eat their own eggs.
They eat their own eggs.
Yeah.
Really?
And I'm hungry.
Or the eggs of each other.
No, they eat their own eggs.
That is injustice. And this bad deer is going to come in the day of judgment, and the victim deer will be eating the bad deer back.
Yeah.
This is
why.
Hello. There are basic laws of justice that Allah has given to the animals. Allah created the animals to eat from the food chain. To eat from the what?
Food chain.
If the animals eat from the food chain, then they are fine. But if they eat outside of the food chain, then they will be punished. Okay?
Yeah,
you got it?
Yeah, the deer with the deer.
And the fish eat their own eggs.
I don't know the food chain. Maybe
fish,
that's a...
But there's their own eggs. That's why species are on the same level of the food chain, right? Maybe. I'm not competent to answer this question.
I don't have enough knowledge to address this question. I just know generally, that two animals who are from the same level, if they do injustice to each other, then those two animals are going to be brought in the day of judgment for justice. Okay? Now, another example of that. There are animals, like remember the story of the animal that Allah created this animal to hunt for meat?
Yeah.
And this animal, instead of hunting for meat, this animal started what? Stealing meat.
Ugh.
Right? And Allah punished the bird for, I'm sorry, not the animal, it was a bird. And instead of hunting for meat, Allah, this bird chose to steal meat from people. All right? So Allah punished that bird. Do you remember that story?
Oh my God.
Let me remind you with the story. Okay, a bird came to Prophet Sulaiman crying. And then he said, Prophet Sulaiman, what? So Prophet Sulaiman said, what? He said, didn't you say that Allah doesn't punish you right away and give you a chance to repent and fix your mistakes and stop doing mistakes, stop making mistakes? Didn't you say that? Didn't you teach us that? He said, yes, I did. Then The bird said, then look what happened. I stole a piece of meat and from people who are doing barbecue. So I landed on them, I stole the meat, and the sharp one of the pieces, the piece that I stole, had a charcoal attached to it. Okay? So when I lifted that piece of meat and I took it to my nest, what did it do to my nest?
Burnt
the nest, and the children of that bird got burned with the nest.
Did they die?
So he was crying. He said, why did Allah punish me right away on the spot? Why didn't he give me a chance? So Prophet Sulaiman said, as far as the fact that Allah gives you a chance to fix yourself and to repent, that's a true fact. For sure, that's a true fact. I can assure you this is a true fact. But in your specific situation, why did Allah do this to you and didn't give you a chance? I have no clue. Because you are telling me a part of the story. I don't know what happened before, and I don't know what will happen in the future. If I have the whole story, I can tell you, but I just have a little bit. I have a clip, small clip of the story. I don't have the what's going to happen next, what happened before. So Allah revealed to Prophet Sulaiman to go and say to the bird and tell the bird, this punishment is not for stealing this meat this time, but it was for a sin that you have done long time ago and you didn't repent. So it was a punishment for what? For an old sin. And then Prophet Sulaiman told him that Allah said, the punishment for stealing this piece of meat is not served yet. It's going to come later on. Unless you repent. You got it? You understand? So you can see that Allah holds to the animals and the birds to the nature that he has put onto them. He has put a nature of hunting the meat, and this bird started stealing the meat, which is not what Allah has taught him. So he went outside of that teaching. So back into this responsibility issue. So we love to live. So we love to be tested. We love to be free. So we love to be tested. We love power. Then we love to be tested. We like to have more power. Then we're asking for a harder test. Right? Go ahead.
A fat guy likes eating, but he doesn't like getting fat.
Yeah. That's true.
So people like living, but that doesn't mean they like the responsibility.
People, don't you love to have more power?
Wait, you said that.
Huh? You are asking for it.
But you don't want responsibility.
No, it's a rule. With power comes responsibility. They go together. You don't want responsibility, then give up the power. But we don't do that. Not only that we love power, and we love to go up, and we love to hold on to power, okay?
Pretend the richer you are, the more taxes you get. You want to be rich, but you don't want to pay taxes. No one wants to pay taxes.
Better. Yeah, you can't take half of the story.
That doesn't mean they want the responsibility. No one wants to pay taxes.
Then you shouldn't want what made you responsible. Okay, we all know it's a rule that it's a rule that you cannot change. With power comes responsibility. With money comes responsibility. Why? If you are poor, okay, you don't have enough money to goof around or to cause damages. But if you are rich and you are a corrupt rich, then you can create a lot of damages. You can corrupt a lot of people by your money. Okay? So, more money you have, more responsibility you have. And harder becomes the test. Who doesn't love to have more money? Who doesn't? We all. Let me tell you a story of Thu'aylaba. Thu'aylaba was called the bird of the masjid at the time of the Prophet. Why? Because he was so poor and he was homeless. And at the time of the Prophet, homeless people live where? Masjid. So homeless people live where?
In the masjid.
And they are called Ahlus Suffa. They are called what?
Ahlus
Suffa means the people who live in the masjid. So that guy, he really, really loved money. He was in so much love with money. And he wanted money so much. Then he started nagging on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. O Prophet Muhammad, O Prophet of Allah, please ask Allah, pray to Allah to make me rich. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam knew that if this guy becomes rich, then he will fail the test. He will fail. Knew Allah inspired him that I am not going to accept your prayer and make this guy rich, because if he becomes rich, he's going to hurt himself. He's going to get himself in trouble. Okay? He won't be able to survive the test. So I'm not giving him money. So the guy, the Prophet told him that. So the guy said, no, that's ridiculous. Please, please pray for me to get money. The Prophet said, but this is going to hurt you. You're not going to be able to pass the test of being rich. So don't ask for money. Then he comes back and says, please, please, please. And the Prophet gives him the same answer. And he kept nagging on the Prophet. Until the Prophet said, okay, I am going to ask Allah again. So the Prophet went and asked Allah. Then Allah said, okay, I am going to make him rich. So that we learned the lesson. What happened? Then the guy started doing business and trading. And then he's slowly becoming rich. Okay, the first thing that happened that he started skimming some of the prayers in the masjid. He was the bird of the masjid, 24 hours almost staying in the masjid. So now he started skimming prayers. Okay, then he started praying only Fajr and Isha in the masjid because he has more business to take care of. And he preferred to take care of his business over praying. Okay. Then he got more rich, okay, and he started skipping Fajr in the masjid. Then he got more rich, so he started skipping Isha. Then he got to even more rich, he started skipping Friday prayer. So now the guy doesn't show up in the masjid at all. So the Prophet ﷺ asked his companions, what happened to Thu'aylaba? They answered, he's too busy doing business that he has no time, that he claims that he has no time to go anywhere or pray or do any of these things. So the Prophet knew it. And the Prophet, shook his shoulders like this. It's like, what are we going to do here? The guy is making the wrong choices. He asked it for the responsibility of having money, but he's making the wrong choices. Then, at the time of paying the zakah, the Prophet used to send people who are going to collect the zakah from the rich and give it to the poor in the same town. They don't take the money of zakah out of the town. So, for example, they come to Santa Clara, they get to the rich people of Santa Clara, take zakah from them and give it to the poor people of Santa Clara. They don't give it to the people of San Jose. So the rich people will see their money going to the poor directly. You got it? Mm-hmm. So they see it. They don't suspect or doubt that somebody's taking this money and misusing or abusing the money. No, they get to see the money, the camels going from them to the poor. They get to see the gold going from them to the poor. Right there. Same community. Okay? So the Prophet will send people who collect the zakah and give it to the poor. So they went to Thu'aylaba to collect the zakah. Thu'aylaba is a multimillionaire now. So Thu'aylaba said, how much is the zakah? They said, they calculated the zakah and they say, it is that much. So Ahileba got mad. Said, what? It's too much. And then he got angry at the guy and he said, go tell your friend Muhammad that this is not fair and this is just nothing but unfair taxes. This is not zakah. This is nothing but unfair taxes that you are collecting from us because by under pressure. Okay? And then he refused to give that zakah. So the guy, when he heard Thu'ilaba saying that, he said, you said, go tell your friend Muhammad. Isn't he your friend too? He said, no. If he's going to take that much money from me, he's not my friend. So the Thu'ilaba went back. I'm sorry, the guy went back. The collector of zakah went back to the Prophet and he told him. The Prophet said, Thu'ilaba destroyed himself. Thu'ilaba destroyed himself. Thu'ilaba destroyed himself. And he died. He died as a kafir. He died in this state. He wasn't paying zakah. He wasn't praying. And he died like that. So he went to hell. So that story, the lesson we're learning from that story, the guy brought a test to himself that he's not capable of handling. What happens if he would have stayed poor?
He would have went to Jannah.
He would have went to Jannah. Why? Because he is not going to be tested with zakah. Poor people have only three pillars of Islam. What are they? Shahada, praying, fasting. And they are very, fasting is very easy for them. You know why? They are so much trained into fasting because they didn't have much to eat. You know, so even fasting is easy for them. Prayer is easy for them. Why? Because they have faced a lot of harsh life. Life is so harsh with them that prayer is not harsh to them at all. Prayer is just a piece of cake. It's not like the rich people where they are so spoiled. Oh my God, I have to pray 5 times a day. Oh my God. You know? So they really, the test of the poor people is really easy, much easier. But who likes to be poor? I don't want to be poor. I want to be more rich. But hold on. You become more rich, you have more responsibilities. Are you sure you're going to be able to rise up to the level of responsibility when you are rich? Okay? So, but unfortunately, we want to be rich. And because we want to be rich, automatically the other side comes with it, which is we get what? Responsibility, right? When Prophet Sulaiman asked Allah to have royal powers that nobody else had, Allah gave him this royal power. But with that royal power, he got the responsibility of managing, responsibility of what? Managing these resources and employing them in good deeds, right? So he would manage the jinn. And he would, because nobody else can see the jinn or talk to the jinn or punish the jinn except him. So he would sit down and hold his stick like that and keep watching, staring at the jinn, making sure, and the shaitans, making sure they are doing useful stuff and instead of causing trouble. Okay? So that was a lot of work on him. Managing all the jinn and the animals and making sure they are doing the right stuff. That's a lot of responsibility that he brought to himself. But he wasn't upset. He didn't fail that responsibility. He was able to rise up to the level of this responsibility. You got it? At the same time, the Pharaoh, when he became a pharaoh, what did he do with his power? He made himself God. And he wanted people to treat him the way we treat God. The way God is to be treated. That's what he wanted, right? The responsibility of you coming to the Islamic school. Okay, you're being responsible as a Muslim. You're blessed to be a Muslim, but you are responsible of learning and implementing Islam. You come to the Sunday school, you don't take it seriously. That is a wrong decision. You are responsible in front of Allah. Allah gave you the responsibility of paying attention and taking the Sunday school seriously. That is part of the trust that you've been trusted with. What is happening? Joking and talking and looking at the clock and can't wait to get out of here, not paying attention, dreaming, thinking about something else. But when you do that, you are betraying the responsibility, betraying the trust. And when you betray the trust, you are getting yourself in trouble. You're harming your own self. Why do you betray the trust? Because you're an enemy of yourself. Because you cannot resist your temptations. And that's wrong. Just imagine this example. Imagine that you have two slaves that you have made yourself, built yourself, and raised yourself, did them a lot of favors, and gave them, then when they grew up, you decided to give them the responsibility of having free choices. So you said to the first slave, you said to both of them, okay, I am going to trust you with $3,000 and 3 days, okay, and I want you to use the $3,000 in the 3 days, and also I'm going to trust you with a car. So I'm going to trust you with the $3,000 with a car and 3 days, and I want you to use the 3 days and the car and the money to go to Mecca and do Umrah. To go to Mecca and do what? Umrah. So he's trusting you to make three choices. How long? 3 days. And to do your job, he trusted you with a car and $3,000. You got it? And he did that. You do that with two slaves. One of them, and then you tell them at the end, I'm going to send the angel of death to arrest you and bring you back to where? Me. You told them that. So one of them took the money, and instead of going to Mecca, he went to Las Vegas. And then instead of doing Umrah, he went to casinos and he gambled. Then, of course, naturally, what happens 99.9% of the time of the people who gamble?
He lost all his money.
He lost all his money, the $3,000. Then what? Guess what did he do? So he sold the car for $2,000, and then he continued gambling to make up his losses. And guess what happened?
He lost it.
Then the 3 days are over. Then you send him the angel of death to arrest him and bring him to you, to your court, to judge him. The other guy, he was so righteous that he took the car, he drove to Mecca, he used the $3,000 to pay for gas and accommodations and food in Mecca. He did the Umrah. And then you send the angel of death to bring him back to your court. Now tell me, are you going to treat them both the same? Are you going to say both of you go to Jannah?
No.
That, you know, an awful guy wouldn't do that. An awful guy would do that. That's not fair. That's not, you know, I don't want to say that's very stupid. Allah would never do that. Allah's better than that. Allah's never going to do that. Make equal the good guy who went to Mecca to the bad guy who went to Las Vegas. You got it? The responsibility? You have the responsibility. So your homework today is to summarize what we have talked about and email it to me. And what?
Email it to me.
All right? Listen, it's being recorded. It's going to be online. So you go listen to it and be organized. And then do the final take-home test and email it to me as well. All right? Salaamu alaikum.